Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But it's going to be more than that. We're going to be talking about you and how you can take charge of your talent. You don't know what it is? Well, don't feel badly, because I think most of us wander about in life wondering, what is it that I do best? What is it that I can really do that's going to bring me joy and fulfillment and happiness? Well, we've got two guests. We have Don Maruska and Jay Perry. They have put together a book called Take Charge of Your Talent. And guess what? They had three primary keys to help us figure out how we can thrive in a career and also on other levels of life. Jay Perry and Don Maruska, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I really was surprised when I got this publication, and I was hearing this, well, gee whiz, you can take charge of your talent. And I can tell you from personal experience, when I look back years ago, I thought, what are my talents? What? So many times we don't really respect them. Now, I want to let people know who you are. Don Maruska, you founded, and you have been the CEO of three different Silicon Valley companies, which is an awesome accomplishment, and you love to inspire people. And Jay Perry, you're one of the founders of...
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hey, everybody. This is your new friend, Julio. And I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BBSRadio.com. I sneak over the border.
Hi, this is Donna. I apologize for the interruption, but we were having some problems, some technical problems, which can happen in this phenomenal world of technology. As I was saying, Jay Perry is one of the founders of Coach University and the International Coach Federation, and he really likes bringing out the best in people. He likes to call it the creative genius that we have within ourselves. Gentlemen, how in the world did the two of you connect? How did you decide that you were going to collaborate on bringing forth this publication, Take Charge of Your Talent? Who'd like to speak first, Don or Jay?
Well, I'll talk, because Don was actually kind enough to invite me into this. Don had been doing some of this work for a number of years, and we've known each other for, I guess, about 18 years. And we met at a conference, and he asked me if I wanted to help out with this. He had had a previous book that he was just sort of overloaded by the request for his services and time, and felt like he couldn't do it justice by himself, so wanted a partner the next time around. And so we're now not just the two of us. We're in the process of creating an international movement. I've already trained about 13 people in 5 different countries to deliver this kind of work around the world, and we're hoping to have more than 100 of those kinds of people by the end of the year.
Oh, my goodness. It has been a challenge. And as I started to say before we started having some challenges with the phone lines, I myself if I reflect back in my younger years to really honestly know what my talents were, and always it was in the communication industry, whenever I did any kind of work, whether it was for a police department or it was for an insurance company or Frito-Lay, it didn't make any difference. I always ended up in the aspect of communication, working with people. So I can look at that now and I can say, okay, there was a patterning. But how in the world can people begin to identify their talents? Because so many times we don't honor and respect that which comes to us naturally. What would be the beginning aspect that you'd want to share with someone?
Well,
Don?
Well, I guess what I'd highlight is that what we think is most important, and we actually define right on page one of the book, our view of talent is really quite different from a typical one, and that is we think of talent as being not simply your strength or a skill set, it's your self-expression. It's the joyful demonstration of your unique abilities that benefit both you and the world. So we begin by asking people, well, what are the hopes that you have for your talent, and why are they important to you? Because it's really what somebody wants to do with what they have that's more important than what in fact they have. In fact, if they have some gaps in their skills or capabilities, that's an invitation for them to either fill them in themselves or to find other people that can help them. But what's critical is, what are they hoping to bring forth into the world? And why is that important? So often people kind of focus on, well, what's my talent? Am I talented? Am I not talented? And there's so many judgments that happen in schools and workplaces and everything else that get people really thinking to themselves is being powerless about their talent.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be heroes of their talent.
You bring out a Gallup poll survey on employee engagement. That is what it was classified as. And it was reported that 71% of American workers were either not engaged in their work or they were actively disengaged. They didn't like their work very much. And it's costing our economy $400 to $500 billion a year. That's a B. I mean, when we look at our national deficit, that is, holy Moses, that's a lot of money. How in the world did they make that kind of an evaluation? I mean, seriously, what kind of questions did they ask? How did they come up with this conclusion?
Well, the Gallup poll had basically six factors that it was looking at in terms of, how interested and engaged people are in their workplace. What are they taking the initiative? Are they getting opportunities? Are they feeling like this is a place where they can be expressing their talents and their abilities effectively? And we're rated on that scoring basis. And the Gallup poll has been doing this for about 10 years or so. So it isn't just the bad economy. Actually, these rates have remained, somewhere between 68% to 74%. For more than a decade. So this is a chronic problem that we have of people not really fully being engaged. Yes, they show up to work. They probably started their job really excited, but something happened where they kind of fell off feeling like this was truly an opportunity for them to bring forth their capabilities and to do that in a joyful and productive way. And that's what we're working on, is helping people figure out how to, instead of being a victim of that circumstance, become the hero and step forward.
I think that this application also could apply to a business as well. And when I say that, the only reason a business can exist is if the people within the company structure, from the top all the way down, doesn't make any difference their positioning, has a feeling of engagement. Jay, you, in the book, there is this discussion about people feeling like they're stuck, how talent lives inside of a story. How is that going to help someone to know what to do? What do you mean by talent lives inside of a story?
Well, one of my favorite quotes, Donna, is by a social historian named George Gerbner, and I'll paraphrase it here, is something like, what makes human beings different from all other species is we're the only ones that tell stories and then live by the stories we tell. So as Don was saying before, most of us have gotten locked into some story about what we're good at, what we're not good at, what we're capable of, how high we can fly, and that tends to be very, very limiting. So we end up telling stories that are filled with excuses and reasons of why we can't do something or why we haven't succeeded at something. We encourage people to change their stories, or at least change the next chapter of their story, into a hero story. Not a superhero story. A hero story really is about a normal, common human being, like all of us, who have great hopes, who want to make a difference in the world, and recognize that we're going to run into obstacles along the way, but we really have the focus, the will, the intensity to work through those and to create something wonderful. And when people start telling that story, it's amazing how the universe begins to agree with them. That's a great place to start. If you're trying to be a winner with a loser story, good luck.
Now, give us an example of someone that you've worked with, maybe had a loser story and did a conversion. Give us an example.
Well, I think there's a great example in the book that we follow through so that people can see actually how this plays out. It's a story of Fran. Fran is a superb staff-level person, and she'd done her own work and done it effectively, but she wanted to become a manager, and not because of some power trip thing for her, but because she wanted to be able to lead other people and help bring out the best in them and help them move forward. The problem is that all the jobs that she wanted that were supervisory or managerial nature required some prior supervisory experience. So she was caught, you know, in the classic problem of, I can't get there from here. And she thought, I'm stuck. There's nothing for me to do. I'm here in this job. I can't get to where I want to go. She had a talent catalyst conversation, which is the first key of the three keys. That's to power up your talent story. And in that talent catalyst conversation, in the course of 45 minutes, with a series of very carefully structured questions to bring out her creative thinking, she came up with an approach to how she could get around that difficulty by, in essence, figuring out, okay, what's the critical thing of becoming a supervisor? How could she develop that talent? How could she do some practice exercises or some real-life experiences with that and projects that she's working on? And how could she build her portfolio to prove and demonstrate to other people that she could do that effectively? And so she turned what was a victim story, like I'm stuck and I can't go anywhere, to a hero story that, oh, yes, there are possibilities here. I can look at this from a different perspective, and I can be successful in doing this. And she went on and became a manager, managing a group of people and being very successful in doing that and helping her whole organization succeed, because she also helped them learn what she learned was critical to becoming a supervisor.
You mentioned two words that I think are very important, and whichever of you would like to answer this. What is a talent catalyst? Those are two key words here. What is a talent catalyst? And how do you find, do you become one? Do you look for one? And what are the parameters of finding one? Why is it valuable?
I love this question, Donna. It's one of my favorites. A catalyst is something that causes a reaction but doesn't get used up in the process. So anyone can learn to become a talent catalyst. Excuse me. Matter of fact, we can train people in an organization to be a talent catalyst in somewhere between 2 to 4 hours.
Wow.
And so we want people to both enjoy and experience what it's like to have a talent catalyst who asks them this series of open-ended questions that we've structured very carefully to take advantage of what we now know about from neuroscience about what parts of our brain we want to access to get our most creative thinking that leads us from hope to action. We train them in what we call generous reflective listening, a very powerful, simple kind of listening, but it's very different from the way most of us listen on a day-to-day basis. And then to only add comments and suggestions with permission, so that the participant, the person that it is at the quote-unquote mercy of the talent catalyst, is always actually in control. There's nobody doing anything to you. So once the talent catalyst once this person has experienced it, we then say, great, go off and be a talent catalyst for someone else. And that's how we see the possibility of this being able to reach. Our hope is 20 million people by the year 2020 all over the globe, and many in currently underserved populations.
You have a chapter titled Keep Your Hopes Humming. And in there, you have mentioned what you call Take Five, the practice of spending 5 minutes a day giving focused attention to your hopes for your talent. I'm quoting directly from your book. You also say, make your hopes visible. Now, of course, the first thing that popped into my head when I mentioned the last statement is doing like a vision board, being able to visualize something. But what is Take Five? And making hopes visible, that's something a lot of people, even if they used a vision board, would have a terrible time with.
Sure. Well, Take Five is a great opportunity for people at the start of their day or some point in the course of their day to take 5 minutes and to reflect on what are the hopes that they have for their talent, how to move back right to the core of what's important to them, so that they're really focusing on, you know, what's going to be most important for their success and for what they can bring forward in their talent elsewhere. So it would be an opportunity to say, okay, what are several ways today that I'm going to manifest my talent, or how at the end of the day can I go back and look at the day and say what I've done and write down what I've done to accomplish and to move forward towards my objective. It's a great way of turning intentions into practical action, and that's really what's key there. I've been doing this for quite a while now, and it's just amazing. If I look at the end of the day what I've done and how much I've done to pursue what is the highest and best use of my talent, it's striking to me that little point of accountability prompts me throughout the day to be thinking, well, what more could I be doing? How could I be applying this more effectively, and how could I take more satisfaction in it? And the reality is a lot of these opportunities are, you know, take time to develop. So we have to be encouraging ourselves along the way. And, you know, making our talent visible, the second question that you were asking, Jay provided a great example that we included in the book, which is that, you know, if you wanted to learn how to play a guitar, you're going to do better with the guitar in the closet or putting the guitar on the coffee table so that you see it every day. And so just like your vision board that you were describing, Donna, or other things that people might do, finding some way to make the talent concrete and specific. I put our 2020 vision for that Jay described, of 20 million people in 20 countries by the year 2020, having these keys and putting them into practice. I have it right over my desk. I've got it even by the side of my bed because it just inspires me and helps me realize that's what we're about.
Now, this is something that to me is very important because I used to find myself challenged. And I'll use me as an example. And I would maybe go to conferences and people would get their big ahas and they'd be going, giving a high five saying, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. And they go out and they say, I'm going to make $1 million or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And I would find myself often observing that and I'd say, well, that's great for them, but that's not really what I want. That's not really what's meaningful to me. And I think there needs to be that assessment that sometimes we really have to dig down inside of ourselves to find out what is most meaningful to us. And for both of you, you have phenomenal objectives, which are just terrific. But for the person that might be listening to this show, maybe they might mouth something they want to achieve. But your word intention is so important because you can have the greatest goals in the world, but if your heart and your spirit and your intention are in another direction, you're going to get extremely frustrated. How can a person develop the integrity with themselves to be able to, as your title says, take charge of their own talent?
Well, there's a number of factors to that, Don. I think it's important that we be aware of who we are as human beings. And we have these wonderful things called brains, which are both there to protect us, and they're also the source of our creativity. And that's what the Keep Your Hopes Humming is all about, is continuing to make sure that you're getting your brain working in that direction of creativity. Now, some of the things that I think are going to give you the answers that you're talking about, am I on the right path, is this really true to me, are going to come from those simple questions and something like a talent catalyst conversation. Some of the things I think require being in action, because sometimes people do think that they want to do a particular thing, and it's only by being in action that they discover that they somehow misrepresented it to themselves, and they go, oh, I see, it wasn't that, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, mm-hmm. the last thing I think is that it's critical to recognize that that your talent is not something to try to use alone. You know, human beings really aren't built as standalones. And so it's critical, I think, to both surround yourself with what we call a talent fulfillment team, you know, the kinds of people who are really going to support you and remind you about who you are and what you're up to in the best sense. I think it's also important that we are able to create something and share it with people so that our talent doesn't just become something we talk about or just use for ourselves, but is actually something that other people can enjoy. One of the things that I've done as my expression of this book, because Don and I firmly believe that we need to walk the talk with this all the time, is that I sort of dug into my past as an old rock and roller and guitar player, which I hadn't touched a guitar actually very much in about 20 years. And I decided to write an unofficial theme song for the book and came up with something called The Moment Is Now, and used the whole process of the book to write the song. It's been recorded. I just had it done for the first time in Houston at a presentation. It's great to be able to share something, to have something concrete to share with other people. It's at that point that we actually can experience the true nature of our talent. Because sometimes I think on the way that the phenomenon you're describing is our brain can jump in and start trying to protect us and say, oh, that thing that you really thought you could do, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. So without the people surrounding us to support us and remind us, and without the concrete creations that we're up to, it's really easy to forget and to get swallowed back up by that, you know, that anti-hero story.
Now, let's talk about this resource team or resource talent. All of us come in contact with people, and you have, let's say someone has really large aspirations for their company, for themselves, and they go, how do I reach out to those people that have the resources that I would like to utilize? They may not even know the right questions to ask. What steps would you recommend for them to take to recognize, number one, who the resource talents might be that they could tap into? And number two, what kind of questions should they ask?
Well, that's really a essential portion of key number two, which is to accelerate through obstacles. Because the obstacles that people encounter, they say, okay, I've got these great hopes, and they're important to me, but I'm facing all these challenges on how to get there. Like, I don't have the resources, I can't find the people, so on and so forth. So in key number two, there are lots of tools to address that, but one of them is called the resource power-up, which is very, very useful. And it starts with the resource challenge, that is to come up with 100 different resources that a person might identify to help support them. Maybe they can only think of 3 or 4 to start with. But if they think each day about it and they plumb a little further, they'll find that they have many more resources. Some of them might be people. Some of them might be information sources, et cetera, that they could tap. And then to start taking a look at, well, to what degree are they really tapping those resources? Are they making, you know, 10% use of them? And in other words, is there a lot more that a friend, a colleague, an expert in the field could be offering to them that they haven't asked for? What are the ways that they could mix those resources up to do it effectively? Jay just gave you an example for himself of how he did that, of finding people that are excellent in their musical skills that could help him bring his song to life. Other people can do that in terms of coming up with their own stories and examples and illustrations that are effective. And then what's critical is finding a way to ask for help. a lot of people feel reluctant to ask for help. We're in this culture that, contrary to what is really our human nature, that is to work with other people, many of us feel like, well, I should be able to do this on my own. I should figure it out. I don't want to look weak or incomplete or something. And so what they need to do is figure out how to ask other people to do that effectively. And we have a very useful tool for that. They start with their intention that they express to the other person that makes some bridge or link to that person, what their observation is about what that person might offer or what their the need is that they're making a request about. And then the third part is, in fact, a very specific request. And I found everyone from CEOs to frontline employees, when they use this simple structure that's in key number two to make requests of other people, are phenomenally successful because they're connecting with people, making honest requests, and people really do, when able, want to be helpful. And that's what we need to do and reach out in order to be successful for ourselves. And when we start doing that, we're also helping that person who's helping us realize, oh, they could be doing that for themselves. And so we're building a generative culture, an environment in which people are wanting to help and support each other because it's coming from an honest, sincere, and effective place.
You have a section in your book also that deals with attention management. And I think these are great tools for anyone to utilize. I wouldn't care if you were a mom at home with kids or you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It doesn't make any difference. And I just want to cover them quickly. Identify your most productive time of day. Block out times for the most important projects. Set up a system to handle other demands during the time frame. Train others to honor your schedule. Sustain the practice for at least 3 weeks and then enjoy the results. This is significant. And I think that these are wonderful tools. Your book is really power-packed. It's not a thick book. And I would recommend to anybody that really wanted to take charge of their talents, the three keys that you offer, it's much more than that. And one of the statements that you make that I thought was really quite interesting is to create assets from one's talent. And it's also teaching others about it and making it tangible for others. And you have see one, do one, teach one. See one, do one, teach one. Apparently it's an old surgeon's method, a motto of surgeons. What you do, you team up with somebody and then eventually you're going to do your own and then you're going to train somebody else. And I thought, that is so important because when you pass your knowledge along, it is invaluable. It is invaluable. The legacy isn't going to die with you, so to speak. It's going to be like the Energizer Bunny. It'll keep going on and going on and going on, hopefully. And this is very valuable information. Gentlemen, what is the website that people can go to find out more about your trainings and about your book, Take Charge of Your Talent?
It is
the obvious, www.takechargeofyourtalent.com.
Well, that is simple enough. Takechargeofyourtalent.com. Both of these gentlemen, Don Maruska and Jay Perry, contribute a great deal, and they've got an objective, 20 million people worldwide. You know what? When you think about that, look at the changes it could make in a world that seems to be so dark, so confused, and so filled, according to many portions of media anyway, with a lack of hope and purpose. It takes each of us to make this world a successful, healthy, prosperous place. And I think Don and Jay have gone a long way in publishing their book, Take Charge of Your Talent, Three Keys to Thriving in Your Career, Organization, and Life. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me today. It's been a joy having you. And your book is quite a comprehensive, powerful one that people could use as a tool to empower their own lives. Thank you for being my guest today.
It's a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Again, take charge of your talent. If you feel like you're stuck, Why not get the book and get unstuck? This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back in just a moment. TakeChargeOfYourTalent.com. Check it out.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I am just so delighted that you've been able to join me this morning. It is always a pleasure to be able to share. And technology is just so incredible, but if you were aware of a popping sound that was going on, we weren't able to clear that line up. But I'll tell you what, it is always good to be able to hear the stories and the information that others share. We never know when we're going to be able to take that little bit of nugget that just resonates with us and make our lives work in a way that we have long dreamed of. So I think one of the points that both Jay and Dawn brought out is a willingness to be open to learn. And I think to learn new things, to learning, be open to learning, that's the correct way I should have said it, it is so important for us. We need to remember, we never get there. That's right. You are always going to be learning, growing, and expanding. And I had a conversation with someone not too long ago. And this woman, I can remember saying to her after she had told me that her children wanted her to learn about a smartphone. They said, oh, Mom, we're going to get this for you. And she said, no, I don't want anything. I don't want to learn anything. I want everything just to stay the same. And she was adamant with this. And I recall when I was hearing her say this, I thought, oh, my goodness, how traumatic change will be in her life. Well, sure enough, a month later, after she had made that statement, there was a major shift in her life that came from the outside, and she was frozen. She didn't know what to do with it. There is not any way that we're going to go through life without things affecting us at some time or another. Mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. We're all going to go through those changes and shifts. So when we can be proactive, when we can remember that this life is meant to be lived with a fulfillment and a purpose, we're going to say, okay, maybe I don't like this particular situation I'm in right at the moment, but how can I take what I've got and make it into something that is going to serve me? And one of the biggest things you can do is shift your attitude. That is one of the biggest things, and then be open and receptive to whatever is brought your way. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with or what is going to open a door for you. And that happened in my personal life just this past week. There was an impasse regarding a particular situation in my life, and I won't go into those details, but I did not know how to get out of a particular, let's say, box of thinking. And there was my significant other that said, oh, I looked at this piece of mail that we had gotten. Let me check on this information. Well, the information, I almost threw that piece of paper away. The information that had been presented on this item we had gotten in the mail was absolutely the opposite of what we would be interested in. As it happened, I had not thrown it away. My significant other went and called. I said, well, why don't you make a call? What have you got to lose? Find out. We know this is not going to work, but maybe they've got some other options. Sure enough, two other options were presented, one of which we accepted, and consequently, there's going to be a tremendous shift in our lives. And it brought a lesson home to me. And hey, I've been teaching for a lot of years, I've been broadcasting for a lot of years, and let me tell you, teachers always learn new things. We're always reminded. There is no limit to what the universe can do. But many times, opportunity comes costumed in forms that we don't know how to relate to. So we need to be consciously present, open, be willing to explore. The worst case scenario is that it's not going to be perfect for us. The best case scenario is that you may be shown other options because someone else knows better than you do. This is what happened. This was just last week. So it shows me, number one, you almost always be open to questioning. Number two, don't be afraid to ask. And number three, move forward when the opportunity, after you check everything out, is really for real. It is amazing what can happen to you. And sometimes acknowledging that you don't know and saying no to what you know isn't right and not giving a response out of fear, which is something else that motivates so many of us at one time or another. We get so scared. Let me tell you, every time fear is at a basis of a decision, usually you end up making the wrong decision. I've done that. Hey, I'm the first one to raise my hand. Believe me. So if you can, be wise. Be aware. You are meant to live your life in a way that is not just going to empower you, but everyone else that comes in contact with you. You're a connector in your own special way. And you have a very special series of gifts, not just one gift, but a series of gifts, of talents. And those can be applied in an unbelievable array of possibilities. So sometimes it takes investing in yourself, but also an openness to being able to step out of your box, whatever that box may be, and realize there's a big world out there for you to be able to explore and be a participant in, not just an inactive piece of cellular stuff. You got a brain, you got a body, you got the spirit, you got the soul. All of it is meant to be shining and to be out there as an example for others. And boy, it makes a difference for you when you let your light shine. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And for those of you that might be first-time listeners, I want you to know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you're always welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of importance to you that crosses your mind. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Joshua Weiner, The New Human. This book is phenomenal. It is about quantum touch. And I'm just going to tell you, it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful, and I hope for any of you that have friends that might be involved in energy healing, anything like this, you're going to want to listen to Joshua because he has made some discoveries that are absolutely phenomenal, and he is able to put them in perspective. The Mystic Cookbook. Oh, this is so much fun. As you know, I love to share recipes on the show. I don't have as much opportunity to cook as I probably would enjoy, but that's okay. There's other things I'm doing, like this show. Meadow Lynn is going to be our guest, and she is going to be bringing a lot of insight, and we're going to be sharing some good stuff with you. Friends in Deep, Friends in Deed. I said that it wrong the first time. Friends in Deed. Susan Sachs Goldman. This is history about the Quakers and how they've influenced history and how they still are influencing history. It is amazing stuff. She's done an incredible job. And then On Friday, we're going to be talking with Steve Roth. And nothing happened, but you can make it happen. This is about technology that was developed a long time ago, absolutely proven to work, but is not used at this time. I think you're going to find what Steve shares absolutely amazing. So that is our guest lineup for this week. And, oh, my goodness, it's just so much fun to be able to cross paths with people who each of them have their own gift. And through the written word, they are able to share with you what they have learned, what they have experienced. And I'm just delighted that we're able to bring this to you. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat today, 888-627-6008. Oh, and before I forget it, for those of you in Western Washington, I'm going to be participating in the Emerald Spiral Expo on March 30th. And I want you to know about it because if you are interested in visiting and experiencing a wonderful show where you have an opportunity to talk with people one-on-one that display various intuitive talents, deal with massage therapy, and so much more, you're going to want to come to this event. It's perfect for the family, just wonderful fellowship, a lot of good people here, a lot of talented people. I've been involved with this group for, oh my goodness, so many years, and I just think it's a fabulous forum to be able to chat, communicate. You'll find the warmth and responsiveness of the people there marvelous. It is free admission to the public, and it's being held at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. So for more details and information, go to emeraldspiral.com, and you'll find out all of the details. Again, this is March 30th from 9 to 5. That is a Saturday, and I hope you will join us. And be sure to stop by my booth because I just love chatting with people. Pulpy Grant. Now, what is this all about? It is about a sea giant. A little bit of history here, and I will be giving you some information about this after we come back from break. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to chat with me, give me a call at 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Before we went on break, I mentioned a term I had never heard of, Pulpy Grant. It is a giant squid. How many of you have seen the movie that was done by Disney, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, where there was this very dramatic sea creature that overtook the ship? Of course, it was astronomically huge and caused such tremendous damage, and eventually the creature was made to go away. Well, in 1861, on November the 30th, there was a Lieutenant Boyer. He was a commander of a French sloop, the Electon. He was sailing in the Canary Islands when the sea around the ship, literally in description, began to boil. And a repulsive creature came up from the depths. And he described this creature as being slimy, brick red, 18 feet long, had 8 arms, and a parrot-like beak for a mouth. Now, he was determined that he was going to catch this creature. This creature had never been seen in known history by anybody. And they fired at it. Bullets, cannonballs, no effect. However, the ship was equipped with a harpoon. They managed to get the harpoon into this 18-foot-long creature and put a noose around the body. Now, the tentacles ripped the rope, and it broke free eventually for all of the hard work of all the sailors on the ship went back into the water. Now, the crew had been able to get a portion of this creature. They called it its tail. Now, the tail alone that they got, the piece that they got, weighed 40 pounds. When the men went into port, the entire crew and the lieutenant described this beast. When it was, the description was read at the French Academy of Sciences, everybody laughed at them. They said, "Oh, you guys were just hallucinating. You must have had too much rum. Something was wrong here." It was a contradiction, and this is a quote, "a contradiction of the great laws of harmony and equilibrium, which have sovereign rule." A little bit pompous statement, don't you think? Well, in 1896, on the same day, November 30th, on the Florida coast, two male cyclists discovered a six tons of decomposing sea creature. Now, there was a physician, D. Webb. He dissected the carcass. It took 6 men, 4 horses, 3 sets of tackle, a rigger, and planks. What was left of it, he worked on. It had no internal organs. Now, today, and I don't recall what museum this is in, there is actually a giant squid, portions that were left on a shore. It might be this one. I honestly don't know. But the truth is, these creatures exist. And now they have actually found out that they're at such depths, it's very, very difficult to find them. But they have been known by certain cultures in the world that live adjacent to these deep areas of ocean. And there are certain fishermen that are often very, very concerned because these are extremely powerful creatures. Whales have been found that have been attacked by these massive squid, and they are an enemy of the whale. So this creature grows to an unbelievable size. But again, it lives at depths that man typically will never, ever be able to explore totally, at least not now. Not now. We don't even have the equipment to go down to certain areas. We have robotic equipment that has been able to get to certain levels. But the pressure of the sea at those depths are very, very difficult, sometimes even for equipment, to survive. So I thought I'd share that story with you. It's not fable. It is true. Donna Sebo here. Quick like a bunny, I want to go into, because I promised you this, we have done the spring signs for Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and I just thought I'd toss in a little bit for 3 signs today, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. This is just fun stuff. I love to do it. Now, for those of you, this is the spring horoscope. For those of you under the sign of Cancer, by golly, you have got so much to look forward to this spring. Why? Because you're a very emotional person. You're a very caring person. Well, you've got some new associations that are coming into your life. And you are going to find that interacting with people is just going to brighten your life in an absolutely wonderful way. Now, you need to be smart enough to really take care of how you plan your career. You really need to take care and to sort of protect those aspects of awareness about yourself and say, how can I use them? This is very important. This is a time for you to be creative. Those born under the sign of Cancer usually are very, very creative. And you want to be sure you pay attention to how you manage your money. don't let your emotional side get into the spending mode. You want to be very, very disciplined with this because you're going to want money later on in the year. And if you spend it too much just because I feel like doing it or you need more stuff, well, you may not need more stuff. Shop with your eyes, keep your wallet tightly clasped, and don't open it up unless it's for absolute necessity. Save those dollars. It'll make a difference for you under the sign of Cancer. Now, you need to know that your intuitive processes are going to be working overtime. So this is a natural part of you. This is a natural talent for you. Support it. Take care of it. And you will be very, very glad that you did. Those born under the sign of Leo, well, you really, I think you're going to have some challenges here because you need to know that you've got to pay attention to what's going on at home. Pay attention to your personal life. This is something you need to really be focused on, your home base, the people that are your support team. You want to be sure that you have good communication with them during this spring period. You may feel like going up and charging out in life. Well, that's wonderful. I'm not asking you not to do that. I'm asking you to be aware of that which is nearest and dearest to you. Take care of it so that you are going to have the stability in that circle of people and environment that means so much to you. Now, you are going to find that this is dream time for you. This is a time for you to get really aware of where you want to put yourself. Using a vision board would be excellent. What means the most to you? And money? Okay, there's nothing wrong with money. But if you just focus on money alone, you're going to find yourself feeling sort of empty. You're going to find yourself wondering why you're just not satisfied. So it's being more aware of what is most important to you. Now, you can do extremely well this year financially. But again, it is where do you want to focus? You don't want to be a workaholic. You don't want to make it so that you can't enjoy that which you really, really value in its truest sense. So be aware of that. Now, for those of you under the sign of Virgo, you've got some real clearance in your life, in your relationships. You need to let go of what is not working for you. If you have people, conditions in your life, maybe it's clutter, who knows? You got to get rid of what isn't working for you. You're disciplined enough, you're detail-oriented, but focus on what you need to get out of your space so you can have more freedom and get decluttered mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, you are going to be stable financially during the spring period, but if you really want to grow and expand, again, declutter your life. Financial prosperity flows as you declutter your space on all levels. It is really going to make a difference. You've got to have some people perhaps around you that are not supportive. And don't fail to dream. Sometimes those of you under the sign of Virgo are so detail-oriented, you get so much into the left side of the self that you forget about the romantic, you forget about the intuitive, you forget about the creative side of you. Don't be so locked in being practical that you ignore the other side of yourself that's beautiful and creative. Well, this is Donna Sebo, and I know we're just about out of time. I want to encourage you to remember always you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. There is so much that we do have dominion over within ourselves. We may not be able to control what's going on in another country or in even with our next-door neighbors. Who wants to? But you can make a difference right where you are. Don't ever forget that. Who you are and what you are, how you conduct your life, how you live your life, and what you give to life really makes a difference. And I'm so glad you joined me today because you make a difference in my life and in my programming. And I'm so glad that you're here to share it. This is Donna. Won't you join me tomorrow? Because we're going to be talking about some very special stuff, the new human. Want to find out more? Tune in. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.